What's Up Fandom Night, episode 34, Man at Arms.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to What's Up Fandom Night. It's been a minute since we've recorded anything for What's Up Fandom Night, and part of that is my fault. No offense to the guys, but I seem to be the big one who basically places stuff inside of this podcast on its own. And I got a bunch of shit that I got to get off my chest, but I'll deal with that later. Today, I found something. Like, I was watching YouTube, and the next episode, I'll get into that more as to why I was just sitting around watching YouTube, like, not just for the normal reason of, oh, I'm bored, let's watch YouTube, like most people, but I was sitting around watching fucking YouTube, and on came an ad for the El Rey Network. Now, for most people who don't know what the El Rey Network is, it's kind of dependent on who you go through for an internet or cable provider. A good portion of people nowadays, they go through like Hulu and shit like that, and it's a possibility to get that network off of there. But I live in Illinois, I have shitty Comcast. And yes, shitty Comcast. And the only reason why Comcast is shitty is because several of their techs throughout the years of talking with them, they've made mention of the fact of, yes, they offer certain speeds and packages and shit, but considering the fact that the wiring still basically goes through phone lines, their internet is shit. And the fact that their signal, like the actual cable box, is basically their own digital streaming service type of thing, almost like a Netflix or a Hulu. So basically, you're using the internet no matter what you get with them, which is kind of the reason why it is they're still giving you shit slow internet speeds, but they still have to have a satellite dish to relay with all the other different networks, and that's enough of fucking Comcast. It's just, look, it's what I got, it sucks, thank God I don't fucking pay for it because I'm stuck at home at my fucking father's again, because once again, bad decisions and shit roommates. So, one of these days I'll be able to get out on my own, but that's a side note. The main point here is, if you have the El Rey Network, they've basically... Okay, hold on. You guys know me, I need a fucking cigarette so I can gather my fucking thoughts properly. Basically, if you're a wrestling fan, so for anybody who listens to Jobber Wrestling Corner, and I applaud all 12 of you, but for anybody who listens to Jobber Wrestling Corner, you already should be familiar with the El Rey Network if you actually watch Lucha Underground. Now, Scotty and I don't really cover Lucha Underground, and I kind of feel like we should, but at the same time, considering the fact that Scott basically doesn't have any form of cable anymore, and all he has is the WWE Network, that's really all we can actually sit down and cover together is anything WWE related. Because Scott can still watch shit off of the network. Not completely, because you can't really watch all the new shit as it's coming out unless it's, you know, network exclusive like NXT or, you know, any of the fucking, the European belt shit and the fucking Formula 409, excuse me, the 205 Live or whatever the fuck it is, their fucking cruiserweight division. But again, if you're a wrestling fan, you should already be familiar with the El Rey Network, simply because if you're watching Lucha Underground, that's the only place to catch Lucha Underground. At the same time, if you're just a casual TV viewer, you know, you might watch some NBC or some CBS or some, you know, your local news station, or, you know, maybe you're a politics person, so you watch one of these fuck-ass 24-hour news networks where basically they cause false drama in the hopes that you'll stick around for whatever the fuck false drama that they're talking about. See, you can watch some ads because that's how these cocksuckers basically make their money, is from you watching ads. So you watch, you know, the fucking 30-second commercial for fucking Burger King. Oh, well, guess what? Burger King just paid for their fucking paycheck. And now we're moving on to a subject. I know we were talking about Trump a second ago, but we're done talking about Trump. Now we're going to go and talk about something the fuck else. I know whatever we were going to say for Trump was going to be something important and fucking is going to be so huge. But fucking, you know. Sorry, needed a drink. But, you know, let's move the fuck on. Well, basically, the El Rey Network shows a bunch of movies and shit almost all the time. Like, it's almost like a sci-fi anymore. Like, it just kind of plays, like, B and C grade type of fucking movies, mostly action flicks. Like, it's basically what Spike was back when Spike Network originally started airing shit. You know, I almost equate it to G4 for fucking action movie buffs, you know what I mean? Well, they did in the vein of television programming today, they went to YouTube and they said, well, what's one of the big YouTube shows that's kind of action-packed and, you know, something manly and rugged? And they were like, oh, well, there's this Man-at-Arms thing where they get actual blacksmiths to sit down and make weapons from, you know, video games and movies, and, you know, here's Cloud's Buster Sword, and here's, you know, fucking Kratos' sword from fucking, you know, God of War. You know, fucking, here's what Squall's gunblade would look like, you know, like the hammer from fucking Mario, like, you know, how would it actually look and weigh, and, you know, what kind of damage could it do type of shit. So they took that, they got Danny Trejo, who's basically in every fucking movie as, generally speaking, and I'm not trying to be a dick here, he's even said it himself, he goes to work to make money, so he doesn't care what the fuck the role is. So 9 times out of 10, it's basically stereotypical, you know, fucking angry-looking Mexican number 37, you know. And like I said, I'm not trying to be a dick, because Danny Trejo's like a damn decent actor. Like, he's definitely a B-list actor, you know, but when it comes right down to it, he has, like, the heart of somebody who comes from working class. You know, fucking throw a script in front of him. Yeah, fuck it, I'll do it. I don't give a shit. Is there a steady paycheck? Okay, I'm there. You know, do I get a free meal and, you know, a pen? Sure, I'll be there. You know, the Henry Rollins mentality of acting. You know, is there a meal involved? Can I at least take a pen home with me? You know, do I get something out of this? You know, paycheck, food, fucking something. So he's in basically everything. Like, Danny Trejo is most notably known as Machete from, of course, the Machete movies. And a few people might know this reference, but, like, fucking Bubble Boy. He ends up playing the Mexican, like, the gritty-looking Mexican biker who at one point in time was fucking his mom. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a funny moment in the movie when you realize that's who he's talking about the entire time. This fucking crazy, fiery, red-headed bitch who, you know, all she wants to do is, like, ride Harleys, get into fistfights, and fuck, you know. And then you find out it's his, you know, hardcore conservative fucking Jesus-loving mother, and it's like, good shit. You know, but basically they took him, set him as, like, the centerpiece host, and then took, like, all the dudes, like, the actual blacksmiths from, like, the Men-at-Arms YouTube channel. And then they also teamed up with experts in the different areas that they're covering. So the very first episode is they cover weapons from, It's famous weapons from China. They end up covering it's basically a pole arm. It's called a Jin, if I remember correctly. Not Jin as in genie, but like Jin, J-I-N. Or no. No, it's the G, that's right. The J-I, that's right. Because it's the fucking, why am I thinking there's an N in it? I don't know, probably because I'm just fucking stupid right now. But, basically, like, they talked about the weapons themselves, which, like I said, they covered the G, which is a pole arm that has, like, 2 crescent moon blades on each side. You've seen it in, like, almost every video game and fucking kung fu movie to here and back, anytime they do a fucking weapon. And basically what it is it's a halberd meant so you can stab somebody, but at the same time the crescent moon hooks can be used as a long form axe, because that's basically what a halberd is it's a spear with an axe on the end of it. Sorry, my cigarette was going out. And then, if you go to stab and somebody's got a shield or they're on fucking horseback, you can either hook the shield, drag it away, and then as the person goes to, like, try to pull their shield back, since the moon blade is basically stuck behind the shield, they're dragging the spear into themselves. Or if they're on horseback, you can grab that motherfucker and, like, yank his ass up off his horse. So, and you have, you know, no offense, but generally in times of war, food scarce, so, you know, horse meat burgers, which you can get at your local McDonald's, or you can basically, you know, just pull the motherfucker down and club him to death with the fucking end of the spear, if need be. And then they also covered what's referred to as, what is it, it's like the sun and wind blade or something like that. Like, it's basically, it's a decorative blade. Think like the hula hoop weapon from, Soul Calibur, that fucking, Terra or Tetra or whatever the fuck her name is. Only shortened, and you hold one in each hand, and you can use it to not only slice, but as defensive. So, and if somebody's holding a sword, they come down at you, you can fucking catch the sword, hook it, knock the sword out of their hand and come back and, like, basically strong arm fucking Iron Fist thrust these motherfuckers to death type of shit. Like, it's basically, it's like a punching weapon. Now, after they forged everything out, you know, and they go through the forging process and tell you how it actually works, what you would need in order to create these weapons, how you're going to punch out the hole, you know, forge it out, or stamp it out properly. Then they go through and they actually do, like, what's referred to, when I learned it, as CAD as a CAD drawing, which is computer animated drawing. So, of course, much like ATM machine, you don't really need the drawing in CAD, but I have to refer to it as that for the layman who doesn't understand what CAD means. So they basically, they do up a CAD of it and then put it inside of a laser cutter, which is what most machine shops use nowadays in order to actually, you know, cut out specific things. Like, okay, everybody needs silverware, correct? Well, most of your forks and knives and spoons are actually machine cut using a laser by simply they scan the fucking spoon and the fork and the knife, each one individually, into the laser cutting database, you know, like on the computer. They map it out, and after they map it out, like, the machine literally goes through and punches out, like, 37 fucking knives out of, like, one, like, what is it? Six inch by, like, 6 inch fucking sheet of metal. They'll cut out, you know, a whole bunch of knives or forks or spoons. It's basically the same thing. Anytime you need to mass produce something, they could do it this way relatively quickly. Now, of course, this obviously wasn't supposed to be their first episode, but because there's a disclaimer at the very beginning of the fucking episode, hey, we have a trained martial artist demonstrating these weapons. These are trained professionals. Do not attempt this shit at home. Don't run out and actually, you know, get some charcoal and a fucking grill and think that you can, you know, go down to, you know, any Home Depot or, you know, Lowe's or fucking any place you can just buy a shit piece of metal and then fucking forge it yourself into, like, a katana. You know what I mean? Like, they get, of course, legally they have to put that shit up, but I very highly doubt many people are going to be dumb enough to try to go out and fucking blacksmith forge their own fucking weapons, but I've been wrong in the past about people doing stupid shit. I mean, I almost don't even need to bring up any evidence of people doing stupid shit. There's enough stupid shit in the news. Not just politically with our president, but at the same time, just fucking in general. But I digress. So, they basically, like I said, the entire premise of this, like, 45-minute, almost an hour-long fucking episode is, here's some weapons, we're going to forge them ourselves after we forge them ourselves and show you all the techniques that would go into actually hand-forging it or just cutting it out, you know, with a fucking laser and a computer. You know, which there is still some fucking handwork that they have to do with, you know, the polishers and the grinders to make sure that, you know, the blades are sharpened and, you know, the metal itself is polished and looks good. You know, that way then it's not just like a fucking blackened char of metal. Because, of course, forging, you're going to burn the shit out of your metal. Anybody who's ever taken a knife and a lighter and fucking put the flame over the fucking metal, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Of course, then again, that could just be me, but at the same time, I also like to clean my blades from time to time, not just sharpen them. But what can I say? I like weapons. I like making sure that they're actually, you know, well kept, just in case. So, like I said, they look at these two blades, and the one guy who's supposed to be the professional martial artist, he does a test on some bags of rice that they basically strung up. And he slices at a few of the bags and stabs at one of them, you know, like literally just like punch stabs at one of them. And then he goes to do like a literal like, oh God, what would you actually refer to it? Like he basically does like a haymaker type of like punch with it. Just literally full arm extension from way to fuck back in Mississippi and like drags that motherfucker clean across. Well, he was too close to the bag. The blade, one of the blades catches the bag, gets snagged in it, and because there's blades that actually come back at the user, it come up and stabbed him clean in the wrist. Which, it didn't get him deep down into the bone, it didn't really sever any of the muscle or anything like that. Like, they had to call in the medics. He goes, fuck, I'm cut. Shit, goddammit, I can't believe I did that, I'm cut. And they go, medic! And they fucking, you know, go to commercial breaks. They can come back from commercial break where he goes, you know, repeat, cut, cut, I'm cut, fuck, how'd I cut myself, fuck. And they're like, oh God, medic. So of course, you know, the actual paramedics walk over and they go, oh, yeah, no, you done fucked up and you cut yourself. And he's like, yeah, I know. And they're like, well, keep this elevated, keep some pressure on it, give us a minute and we'll throw some stitches and some super glue on that motherfucker. And he goes, okay, thank you. So they stitch it up, and of course Danny Trejo, as the mouthpiece for the show, basically goes, remember kids, don't try this at home, type of thing. But I mean, the fact that they not only go into like the historic, like the actual historical aspects of the weapon, like, and not even just the weapon, like the culture itself. Because again, they're talking about like the Chinese military. Sorry, once again, my cigarette went out. But they're talking about the Chinese military in depth, like most of their, you know, tactics from back in, you know, like 4,000 years ago. They discussed how 2,000 years ago, right around, you know, the birth of Christ type of era, basically they had several of the shoguns in the area would actually hire their own private, like, what is it? They'd hire their own, like, private blacksmiths to not only, like, do upkeep on their weapons, but to make sure that, you know, their militaries would actually have weapons, like, mass-produced weapons. Like, they actually invented, like, the very first blast furnace, which, over in Europe and even in the Middle East, you know, that wasn't even thought of. You know, basically, while Europe was in the if I'm remembering it correctly, anyway, it was Europe was in the Bronze Age while Japan literally had discovered steel and was using steel in everything. Like, not just, you know, from samurai swords and halberds and axes. Like, literally, they were using, like, steel tips on arrows, actual iron cannons with steel cannonballs type of thing. Like, they were quite literally using steel while over in Europe they were still, you know, pussing around with bronze and copper. Like, yeah, this is quite nice type of shit. So, the entire show itself, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm going off of the first episode. But this entire show itself, I would definitely highly recommend to anyone who's listening to this if you didn't already know it existed. If you didn't know it existed, I'm glad I was able to show you guys a new show so you could pass your own judgment. But like I said, the fact that they go into the actual, you know, smithing process, they discuss everything that would go into actually forging these weapons. They also talk about the historical periods that these weapons came from. You know, the actual history on the country of origin, like, you know, why they had created them, you know, how it was being made. You know, they go into all that in-depth detail and shit. And anybody who's kind of cool with that type of stuff, like, you know, they like learning these things, definitely highly recommend. Like, even if you're just a casual viewer, just being like, nah, this jackass on this podcast recommended it, I'm going to give it a listen. You know, or after I gave that episode a listen, I'm going to give this episode, you know, this TV show a watch. Wow, I'm really fucking losing my mind here. Probably because I'm almost ready to get into the other episode I want to record, but that's probably going to have to wait till later. But like I said, definitely highly recommend this show to anybody who's into like weapons or into learning historical facts. And at the same time, I also want to, you know, throw a good shout out to the fucking El Rey Network, because like I said, they show decent action films, like, all the time. I mean, don't get me wrong, because it's not like an HBO or a Stars or anything like that. Like, they still have to censor their movies. So, like, what was it? They were playing, like, what was it? It was, like, Wes Craven's Dracula 2 or something the other fucking day when I was trying to set up the recordings of this on my DVR. Which, by the way, the episodes end up airing, like, every Thursday. So, for me recording this, it's only Tuesday, depending on when this gets cut and edited and everything. Fuck, I forgot to leave space for Bill to do all the contact info. So, you know what? Fuck that. No contact info. Unless Bill decides to throw that in later, but...
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone.
Because I'll do it at the end anyway. But, you know, like I said, they were showing that, and like there's a part in the movie where like a dude gets like hit with something and like immediately turns and the guy goes, oh shit. So of course they edit out him going, oh shit, with like literal just the stupid fucking drop the audio for him going shit, but whatever. I mean, again, it's basically a cable network and they were airing it in the middle of the day. So with it being summer, kids, you know, being home and shit like that, which even then, fuck, I want to say this, the show records at like 7-8 o'clock at night, and they're still censoring the show itself. So, I mean, meh. Like I said, that's probably just a limitation of the network itself. But even so, you know, the fact that they're doing, what is it? When I was watching it, they were showing commercials for, they were going to do, like, the entire Saw line of movies. Like, you know, Saw, Saw 2, Saw 3, you know, fucking all of them. And I was like, alright, you know, that's kind of decent, so... Again, just the network itself shows decent movies. If you're a wrestling fan, Lucha Underground, there you go, there's another plug. But mainly I just wanted to come in here and say, after watching the first episode of Man at Arms, I'm definitely going to be watching all the others. So if you definitely want to check this show out, it's called Man at Arms, Art of War. So, like I said, definitely give that show a watch if any of this that I said is any form of interesting to you. Plus, at the same time, you can watch it and then send emails and comments being like, wow, you're a fucking moron and, you know, messed up several of those things that you said based off the weapons and stuff like that, which, dude, don't get me wrong, it's just a matter of my mind's been scatterbrained lately, and I'm going to go into that with the next episode that I record for this, which, speaking of episodes, if you enjoyed this, make sure you go to FandomNight.com and listen to all of our other podcasts. You know, whether it be the Sentai Review, where we talk, you know, the Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, and anything else that's, you know, tokusatsu related. You know, get on Legacy of Gaming. We haven't recorded anything in a while, but at the same time, I've come up with an idea that might fix that. you know, we started doing the lists, and then Shane and I both broke our phone. Well, I broke my phone and upgraded to a new phone, which I'm probably going to be plugging the recording device that I just downloaded, because it's actually a fairly decent voice recorder. Like, it automatically does all the leveling and shit that Bill would normally have to do after I get done recording off my old cell phone and send him the audio files. It automatically records an MP3, which before it was recording in, like, M3U, which Bill would have to convert into MP3 so when he could do the auto leveling on the audio. And then, of course, include the contact information and all that shit. But, like I said, you know, when it comes down to Legacy of Gaming, Shane and I both kept our lists on our phones, and then our phones, well, my phone fucked up, and Shane just upgraded to a new phone flat out, so him and I have been rebuilding our list, and then at the same time, you know, just scheduling nightmares out the ass, especially for anybody who follows Sentai. You understand what, you know, what I'm talking about, simply based off the fact of, we were supposed to do Shane Catches Up and Shane Zeroes, and we couldn't because Shane got forced into work. In which, if you watch that skit, Bill goes, oh yeah, he was lured into the woods with, you know, hopes and aspirations of lollipops and shit like that. Which, basically, all it was is Shane got stuck at work on a Saturday, which sucks. Especially considering the fact that he works at a company that's supposed to be 9-to-5 only, weekends optional, unless they force you to work because they're so far behind that you gotta go in and cover what nobody else could get up off their ass and do during the normal work week. You know. At the same time, like I said before, there's Jabba Wrestling Corner. You know, me and Scotty definitely gotta sit down and watch the last pay-per-view, which we missed because we both said, meh, fuck it. It can wait a minute. Which is, of course, Extreme Rules. So, sorry. As soon as he and I could sit down, we're going to cover Extreme Rules, and then we have Great Balls of Fire as well this month, so whole lots of going on there when it comes down to the pay-per-view. Scotty and I are also trying to get together to do way more, you know, just offshoot, you know, let's do SummerSlam from 2000 type of thing, you know, just random ass fucking, just pick a fucking, in which case, now that I'm thinking about it, SummerSlam, I don't even think started in 2000. Regardless, it doesn't matter. Just pick a random fucking pay-per-view, whether it be WWE, F, you know, or fucking WCW or ECW, whatever the fuck we can find, and just sit down, watch something, and do an episode on it. And then, last but not least, is, of course, What's Up Fandom Night, which you're listening to, so I'm glad that I was able to get something done so we could be back, because it's been, like, what, 3 months since the last time we recorded anything, which, like I said, it's my fault, and I'll explain that in the next episode. Until then, later on, everyone.
Hey, guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.